The epistle for Sexagesima Sunday is taken from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, you gladly suffer the foolish, whereas yourselves are wise. For you suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take from you, if a man be lifted up, if a man strike you on the face. I speak according to dishonor, as if we had been weak in this part. Wherein if any man dare, I speak foolishly, I dare also. They are Hebrews, so am I. They are Israelites, so am I. They are the seed of Abraham, so am I. They are the ministers of Christ. I speak as one less wise, I am more. In many more labors, in prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times did I receive 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I was in the depth of the sea. In journeying often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils from my own nation, in perils from the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils from false brethren, in labor and painfulness, in much watchings, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things which are without my daily instance, the solicitude for all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is scandalized and I am not on fire? But if I must needs glory, I will glory of the things that concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. At Damascus, the governor of the nation under Aretas, the king, guarded the city of the Damascenes to apprehend me, and through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and so escaped his hands. If I must glory, it is not expedient indeed, but I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I know not, or out of the body I know not, God knoweth. Such an one was rapt even to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, that he was caught up into paradise and heard secret words, which it is not granted to man to utter. For such an one I will glory, but for myself I will glory nothing but in my infirmities. For though I should have a mind to glory, I shall not be foolish. For I will say the truth, but I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth in me, or anything he heareth from me. And lest the greatness of the revelation should exalt me, there was given me a sting of my flesh, an angel of Satan to buffet me, for which thing thrice I besought the Lord that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for power is made perfect in infirmity. Gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. As for the words of the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, when a very great multitude was gathered together and hastened out of the cities unto him, he spoke by a similitude. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And other some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it had no moisture. And other some fell among thorns, and the thorns growing up with it choked it. And other some fell upon good ground, and being sprung up yielded fruit 100-fold. Saying these things, he cried out, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And his disciples asked him what this parable might be, to whom he said, To you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may see, may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God, and they by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil cometh and taketh the word out of their heart, lest believing they should be saved. Now they upon the rock are they who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, for they believe for a while, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they that who have heard, and going their way are choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life, and yield no fruit. But they are that on good ground are they who, in a good and perfect heart, hearing the word, keep it and bring forth fruit in patience. As for the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, on this Sunday, with the gospel of the parable of the sower, I thought it would be a good idea to speak about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Just reflecting on the litany of the Sacred Heart, at the end we have the versicle which says, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Obviously, we are asking that he help us make our hearts meek and humble. And we see that of all the places where the seeds were sown, the one that brought forth the fruit were those who received the word with a good and perfect heart. Now, when a grain of seed, like a wheat seed, we have some wheat fields all around us to illustrate this, it dies in the dirt and germinates, produces a plant, and then the plant produces a head of wheat, which has many more grains than the original grain that was sown. And the wheat is thus multiplying. It is the seed of Jesus Christ, his word, the word of God. The word of God is the entire deposit of faith. All those things which God revealed to the world, and which the church is the guardian and the teacher of. When this word of God falls into a good and perfect heart, then it grows, and that soul produces from its heart a rich crop, and it is a new life as well. The old one is dead. The original seed corrupts, and a plant comes forth from that seed. So it is the next, it's representing to us the next world. The world which comes after we die. And we see, then, what is it then, this good and perfect heart? As compared to the good soil, there is bad soil and good soil. We saw the examples of bad soil in the rock. Some of the seed fell on a rock, The rock is hard, does not retain moisture, and so it doesn't nourish seeds. The rock is now a place where there's no nourishment. The nourishment in our souls are twofold. Graces and virtue. The graces represented by water. Many times you see the vision that Sister Lucy had after the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. She saw a crucifix and Jesus on the crucifix, and from his hands and wounds were dripping streams of water, and these drops and streams formed the letters, graces and mercy. The graces then that come from our Lord's wounds, they come from the Mass. Those are the graces which nourish the seed and the plant of our faith in our hearts. And cause it to grow. And produce the grains on the head of wheat. And then the virtues. Virtues also nourish the Word of God in our hearts. And Jesus explicitly names two virtues, meekness and humility. These are both directly opposed to pride. If there was a litany of the heart of Satan, you know, the Satanist might pray to Satan and say, make our hearts proud and evil. Right? And oftentimes our hearts are beginning to be proud and evil, even if we're not asking for it. But in order to become meek and humble of heart, we really have to work at it, because we all tend to do the opposite. And so we must ask for it. That's why it's important to pray to the Sacred Heart. That little prayer, it's a very short prayer, but it gets right to the point. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. Should repeat that often. And then, these virtues, especially meekness and humility, well, how do we get them? What do we do? First of all, we have to want them. If we do not want to be meek and humble of heart, then we will not be meek and humble of heart. St. Thomas Aquinas' sister, after she started to realize he was becoming a great saint, she once spoke to him and said, Thomas, how do you become a saint? And he said to her, you got to want it. That's the key ingredient. Do I want to be a saint? How much do I want to be a saint? For many, it's not at all. And for others, and a few others, it's not very much. And for only a very small number, they want to be a saint, and they want it with all their heart. If we do not want it, we will not become saints. But if we really want it with all our hearts, we will do it. Nothing can stop us. And so here, another quality of the Sacred Heart is that it wants holiness. Jesus, God, is holy, and there's no question of Him becoming unholy. And yet, He covets His own holiness. He does not want to give it up. He wants to keep it. And we who start off unholy, when we are conceived in our mother's womb, we contract the original sin. We are moving in that direction if we want holiness. We must want it, though. And we must strive to obtain it. And so we must nourish the Word of God in our hearts by a desire. Not just a little iffy desire, but a determined and firm desire. I want to be a saint. And I want it above all other goods. And if we determine to do this and remain that way, we will produce that fruit which Jesus spoke of. We will become saints. That, my dear friends, is the reason that we exist. If it weren't for that, God wouldn't have created us. It is the purpose in life. And we must set our hearts on it. It is not enough that we know the Catholic faith. We must know it, but that's not enough. We must also love the Catholic faith and the commandments that God has given us. We must love to keep them. And if we know it and love it, then we will be saved. You see, in today's epistle, St. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians about all the things he suffered in order to remain faithful to Christ. He went through, I dare say, several attempted martyrdoms by being scourged. 5 times 39 lashes, that's just shy of 200 lashes. Being shipwrecked, being stoned, and left for dead, but he recovered. All these things that Paul suffered in order to keep the Roman Catholic faith, which was delivered to him by Jesus, in order to gain heaven. And so many of us get so squeamish and want to give up because of little problems that come up, because something didn't go my way. Well, we can't compare to St. Paul, at least not that way. But we can strive to be more like him by turning our hearts again towards the one who made us and redeemed us and imitating his example, his meekness and his humility of heart, to be like he was, be ready to suffer anything in order to gain the kingdom of heaven. So let us this day resolve ourselves to do so and renew that resolution at every step of the way to keep the holy faith and to strive in every occasion to defend the faith with ourselves and in other cases with others, and to practice the virtue that is required of us, and also to depend on our Savior, Jesus Christ, for the help that we need in doing it. And this is the old saying. It goes along with this. There are two parts to getting to heaven. You work like crazy, and you pray like crazy. You ask God to save you, and you work as though you have to do it all on your own. The old saying goes like this. Work like it all depends on you, and pray like it all depends on God. Even though neither one of those is true, because it always depends on both you and God. We cannot say, well, God has to save me, therefore I can sit on my hands. No. And we can't say, on the other hand, well, I'll do it all myself and I don't need any help from God. Those are equally false. But the fact is, if we work like it all depends on us and pray like it all depends on God, then all the dependencies are fulfilled. And we save our souls. So we must work as much as we can, as hard as possible, and pray also as much and as hard as possible. And then it will happen. It is good for us frequently to imagine to ourselves the entrance into heaven that we seek. Imagine the gates of heaven, St. Peter, and your admission tickets. Admit one, you know. And you're going up there and showing your ticket to St. Peter. The admission ticket, of course, is the faith with sanctifying grace. Show it to St. Peter, and he's saying to you, oh yes, come on in, over here. This angel will show you your spot. Right? And you walk through the gates inside heaven. It's very good to imagine that frequently, because that's what we're supposed to be working for. Laborers dream of their paycheck. Horses, when you're riding them, they're looking forward to that bucket of grain you're going to feed them when you're done. Normal and natural. If we look forward to the rewards of our work, it also makes our work easier. We do not focus only on the hard part, but we look also on the reward we're seeking. And it motivates us. And we do a better job. So let us then determine ourselves to be saints, to beg the Blessed Sacred Heart for the humility of heart and the meekness, and then let us focus on the goal, again, to save our souls, and imagining to ourselves that very day when we receive our reward. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen.